Noah, he overcame the world. When the world was wiped out, he was still standing. Of him, God declared that he was righteous in all his generation. He was outstanding. So I can overcome the world. Noah can do it. I can do it. I could do it enough. Job overcame Satan.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Please open your Bibles and let's join Pastor Rick for today's message entitled, Time Tested.
Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness, which I've got plenty of, and he's got plenty of strength. Because of that, I will most gladly boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I love that verse, but I have had times in my life, both near and far, where I have not felt that strength. But by faith, I know it's there. I don't have to feel it. I've got to know it. Faith is much bigger than my moods and my feelings. I don't discount my moods and my feelings, but they don't run the ship. They're not captain of the vessel. And if they have taken over the ship, you've got a pirate in charge. And you will be tossed to and fro. It is easy to abandon what we know to be true when we are battered. It's very easy to turn away from the faith in the midst of conflict, especially when that conflict, that adversity is long and hard with no hope in sight. John the Baptist, that great man of God, that thunderbolt for the kingdom, he doubted the Lord. He sent his disciples to him from jail. John's in jail. He sends his disciples to Jesus. Ask him this question. Are you the one? Or do we look for someone else? Is there another Messiah? Are you the Messiah or not? John was there when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, this is the one. And now he's doubting it under pressure. Of course, the Lord in his magnificence says, you go tell John what you've seen and what you heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to him. And then he said, there's no greater prophet than John. Matthew 11, verse 3. Here are John's words, verbatim. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Well, that's the point. Even the strongest saint deals with doubt. There's a conflict. And he must deal with doubt, or doubt will deal with him or her. And so this group, John says, they were strong. These gained the victory because they never asked for the easy way. I want to let that sit for a second. They were strong, they were victorious, because they did not ask for the easy way, but for the right way. Big difference. Yeah, there's some truth. Don't work harder, work smarter. Well, sometimes you just have to work harder and smarter at the same time. There's no way around it. You want to gain the victory, you young Christians? Then you can't ask for the easy way, but for the right way. Now, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to take the easy way when it's handed to us by the Lord. Those times will come. But it does mean the right way comes first. After that, everything lines up behind that. And this is why Nehemiah said, shall a man such as I flee? When they threatened, when they were saying, hey, they're going to kill you, run for your life to the temple and hide. Shall a man such as I flee? So romantic, so wonderful, until it's your turn. But that's not the whole story, because it can be your turn. And you can shake in your boots and still stand your ground. This was the case of those martyrs John tells us about in the Revelation, verse 11 of the 12th chapter. He says, they overcame him, that's the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Why? You're going to die anyway. If we're going to go out, if this were a Western, we'd say, let's go out with our guns blazing. Let's die with our boots on. Well, we're not in a Western. We're in life. And now we're going to go out with our testimony because of the Word of God that's in us. And so they face life in Christ. What does that mean? With faith. All the way through, just as Jesus said. They did not have to have Jesus come rescue him for him to be Jesus. That was the case with the three Jewish men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Listen, King, we don't have to think about this. We're not going to bow down. That would be a good moment if they knew sign language. They could have even signed it for him. We're not bowing down. Now God will save us. And if he does not, we're still not bowing down. Not to you. Not for you. I love that kind of talk because I need it. I don't see myself as a dynamo of the faith, not one bit. I see myself as a weakling, but I know who's got the strength and I know who's carried me this far. I know who the strong one is. And because I walk with him, it rubs off. He makes me strong. Many believers rot down physically, mentally, and spiritually simply because they insist on taking the easy way. Always on the cripple list. Always. Always wounded because they take the easy way, yielding to the flesh. And it is so easy. We all do it to some degree. It's just trying to get control of it. It's like cleaning your desk. Does anybody here have a clean desk? You're sick if you do. Something's wrong with you. You need prayer. Well, you know, of course, in jest I say to you that, but the flesh, it always wants to lie down. It always wants to be cuddled. We have to be on guard for that. Always the flesh tries to get us into deeper conflict with God, against God, and the Spirit fights, and that's where the conflict is, no matter what's going on. You know, most don't even understand that their fallen nature or that they have one to go all the way through this life, not even aware that they are in sin, that they have a fallen nature. And always Satan seeks to enter our conflicts in this life by distracting us from the Word of life. It's what he does to expand the ruin. Paul, again, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, he mentions this right out because it needs to be said right out. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his tricks, of his devices, of the way he rolls. We know who those boys in hell are. And we're not going to pretend that they're not who we know that they are. Satan wants us to drop the Jesus life for any life under the sun. Anything but the truth. You can have your postmodern experiences. You can begin to decide what Jesus really meant, not what he said, not according to what he said, but according to the culture and the postmodern experience. That would be ditching the Lord for the junk of hell. And so this morning, is there one here who has fallen for Satan's line that the Bible is not true and therefore it is not trustworthy? You have been had, you have been duped, you have been misled, you have been lied to, and you will pay for it if you continue to cling to it. But you don't have to. You see, way back in the beginning, Satan realized this worked. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has indeed God said? He's challenging. Is that really God's word? You know, Eve, you really need to have a postmodern intellectual experience to gather the best you can be, to be the better you. I don't want to be a better me. I want to be like Christ. That's what I want to be like. I've had enough of myself. I'm full of myself. In fact, there's no room in me for anybody else. My skin fits that tightly. Even though it sags with the years, still no room for anybody else. But I can make room for Jesus in my spirit, my heart. Now, there have been others who have been strong in Scripture, and their record has been preserved for us so we can get the most out of it, so Christ can get the most out of us. Noah, he overcame the world. When the world was wiped out, he was still standing. Of him, God declared that he was righteous in all his generation. He was outstanding. So I can overcome the world. Noah can do it. I can do it. I could do it enough. Job overcame Satan. Of him, God said that he was perfect and that there was none like him in the earth, in the world. Amongst everybody else, nobody's like Job. And then there was Daniel. He overcame the flesh. And these are our three enemies, this wicked trinity. Satan, the world, the flesh. Those three are in constant opposition to everything God has said and what God means and what he has said. Daniel overcame the flesh. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. He would not go back on God's word, as appealing as it was. And of him, God said that he was greatly beloved. We can be all of that. It's there for us. Why did God say this about these men? Righteous in his generation, none like him, greatly beloved. Because, that's why. That's what we started out with, John, with his because. You are strong because the word of God abides in you, as it did in Noah, Job, and Daniel, and so many others. That's why they were strong. And so again, looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, and the word of God abides in you. That's part of that first because. God's word stuck to them because they stuck to God. That's why. It's not the text that they're after. It's God. His word is his mind. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. They recognize this. John is very generous in his use of metaphor concerning the word of God, concerning the truth of God. In verse 14 again, he says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. Can anyone say that about you? Can anyone say the word of God abides in that one? I think there are many of you here that can be said about. The scripture shielded these band of believers from heretics. That's why they were strong. What is a heretic? A wolf in shepherd's clothing. That's what a heretic is. He's coming along acting like he's going to take care of you with this gibberish. Psalm 119:11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Scripture shielded them from the wolves in shepherd's clothing, and Scripture shielded them from themselves. I need to be protected from me because I have a sinful nature. I go the way of sin. I do it effortlessly. Maybe not each and every brand of sin, but somewhere out there, my brand is very available to me, challenging me, asking me, challenging me, coming right out and say, I challenge you to a fight. God's word versus your will. You see, the scripture, the word of God, is a straight edge. You know, if you want to cut a straight line, whether you're using a saw or a torch, whatever else, you put a straight board there on your line and you cut along that board and that helps you get that straight cut. And that's what the scripture does for us. Truth that is too often discarded by professed believers. They chuck the word. They want the music. They want the programs. They want chums in church. That's not a candy. They want that buddy feeling. I need people I can identify with. Whether they like the word or not, long as I feel comfortable with them, that's where I'm going to go worship. Well, that's fine if they love the word and they love the Lord together. But there's a big problem when they're just using his name and doing their own thing as they were doing in the book of Judges and in so many other places in Scripture. Scripture is what made these young believers strong and abiding in the Scripture. And so conquest over conflict is realized right there. When we abide, when we stick with the Lord, when we stay with Christ, or you lose it because you didn't stay with Christ. It's that simple. And just saying, I'm with Christ, that's not enough. It's not enough. Did not Jesus said that there would be a time when they will come before him and say, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we prophesy in your name? He said, get away. I never knew you. That was strange stuff from the beginning. You weren't interested in me. I was just a means to get something else. And so we have this warning that glares off the pages towards us. You will be engaged. If you are a Christian, you will be engaged. You will be put into conflict. There will be disappointments. There will be trials that sometimes will last a lifetime. Some of those trials will take you out of this lifetime. They will come. But if strong believers are to ever be time-tested believers and to progress from the young believer to the fathers and mothers of the faith, then they must not depart the faith. They must get through those conflicts that they are sure to face, the Jesus style. Not going off and doing it their way and then coming back and saying, I abide in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. Okay, then what? His next word, finally. That word finally speaks of time, a length of time. When you get something instantly, there's no such thing as finally. But it's when you've had to wait. That is when that word is birthed. He says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which I shall receive on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Finally, Job, in the 23rd chapter of his book, says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God is more to me than a meal, than sustenance. His word is everything. And you who have been Christians for a while, you know this is one of the great draws of the faith because it's right. It's better than anything else. And you're not going to let conflict take you away from it. Satan, however, understands that time is a force. It is an energy in the universe. It is something that he can use to exploit us, to ruin us. The attrition warfare. Well, that is what a siege is. It is a strategy in which an enemy attempts to win the war by wearing down the enemy's ability to fight until he finally collapses through continual personal losses, or if we're talking true warfare, personnel losses. As the individual goes, if I have enough personal losses, I may abandon the faith because of hardship. The conflict may be overwhelming to me, and I refuse to abide. That's my choice. That is not something forced upon us. Christians have met their death with the utmost courage in time past, not only those in the Scripture, but those after the Scriptures were completed. We still are doing it to this very day. Win a war by wearing down your enemies, by giving him enough defeats on the battlefield, loss of personnel, material loss. You break his spirit. It's the war of attrition. You wear him down, but you need time to do it. It's not done in one battle. It's done throughout the course of a war. The sieges would end resistance. We're going through the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's been warning them about the siege that will befall Jerusalem and all the horrors that are involved and who wins. And the end of that, the Babylonians win. They take the city. Now, on the upside, we can cause our spiritual enemies to run out of time also. Works both ways. By abiding to death, by abiding to end. Once we leave this life, that's it. He lost. We're in the kingdom. It's over. So beware. Watch out for the fatigue. That is time sensitive. Watch out for the drift. That is time sensitive. Both of those are empowered by time. Time is a serious thing with us. In fact, when I get to the close of this message, I'm going to bring that message back to us and hopefully make a strong point out of it. Time gives the devil hope. Ezekiel 16, he says, look, this was the iniquity of Sodom. She had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. To be idle, you have to have time. It's the misuse of time. It's the waste of time. And so whatever Satan touches again, he turns to ruin, to waste, to loss, unless it is met head on by those who are strong because they abide in the Word. So John is saying it isn't magic. There aren't those Christians that just are magically stronger than the other ones. The ones that are strong because something happened, something took place. They availed themselves of it. They entered in. Now, if you're going to feel sorry for yourself, you won't because. You won't get to that step. Time will tick away. I have prayer requests that have been on my list for years. I'm not giving up on them. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. If God never answers them, I will enter heaven with those prayers on record. Testimony to abiding in Christ because of His Word, because of His Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross and who He is to me. But I still have this strong hope. Every day, same prayers offered. Every day, same hope along with it. Because I know who He is. And I know Satan, he hates that. I don't do it because Satan hates it. But his hate tells me this is what God wants. Because this is right. And I don't take the easy way whenever I can. These are things that I pursue. I don't speak as though I've already attained or am already perfected. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling in Christ Jesus. What Christian should have a problem with that? Matthew 24:13, Jesus said, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. How much does that say? That says everything I've been trying to say. And he gets it in one short sentence. Endure to the end, you will be saved. All right, I don't want to just endure. I want to take out as much of the enemy's work as I can. I want to mess up as much that belongs to him as I can. I want to go vandal on his stuff. That is the Christian spirit. And so by perseverance, the young men became fathers in the faith. The day came when they were the fathers. They were the time-tested. They paid their dues. And now, in their older years, the other saints would see them and be encouraged. They were winning, John tells us in verse 14, and you have overcome the wicked one. You beat Satan. That's what Job did. They gained the victory because they were willing to pay the price of victory. It's another one that gets us right between the eyes. Victory's not cheap. It costs something. We all have it. We all can afford it. But will we pay it? Do we believe it is enough? What happens when this kind of preaching is not given to God's people? They flounder. Begin to go the path of least resistance. And they become relatively ineffective, if not apostate altogether. But how do I get this loyalty? How do I get to this place where I'm willing to pay the price for victory? Well, love. Love leads to loyalty, and loyalty leads to triumph. It is the love of Christ that compels me, Paul said. Why do you think I'm going through all this stuff with you in Corinth? Why do you think I take these beatings from these unbelievers like I do? The love of Christ. It constrains me. It holds me. The sacrifice has been bound to the altar. I can't go anywhere. Woe is me if I don't preach Christ. And so you who walk this road, again, we are promised battles, and we are promised to lose battles.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.